You are listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
Here's our present counter for you, Your
Honor. All right. Thank you. Please be seated.
May I?
Okay. Yeah, we're back on the record. I understand the witness was able to get her reading glasses and review that document. I considered lending you mine, but their prescription, then neither one of us would have been able to read if she's been able to review that now. Mr. Pryor, if you'd like to continue with cross, you may.
Now, my understanding is you started out the letter by saying to sweet friends, right? To my sweet friends. You recall reading that?
Mm-hmm.
And the first line was, I am forwarding an email.
Objection, Your Honor. This letter has not been admitted into evidence.
Sustained.
Okay. Do you recall what you wrote as the first sentence to the email that you sent out on August 12th of 2020?
So the first thing that I noticed on there is that is not the date that I believe I sent that out. That heading was changed by the person that forwarded that on to her sisters.
But you will agree that this email was the email that you sent out, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have a recollection of what the first sentence that you included in that email, what you stated in the first sentence?
So I quickly read through it. I didn't memorize it, so I don't remember
Judge,
the first
sentence. And we can do this, Judge, or I can, if Mr. Wixom wants to do it this way, I'll have to hand it to her each time and do that, or I can read this and ask her if she recalls.
To your cross, Mr. Pryor.
Okay. Well, Mr. Bailiff, would you provide her the letter then? And ma'am, I just need you to take the letter, read the first sentence.
Your Honor, I'm going to object. This is not an admitted exhibit. She can use this document for refreshment.
And Judge, I'm asking her to refresh her recollection. Put the letter down, then I'm going to ask her about the first sentence.
If it's for refreshing recollection, she can do that. So, Mr. Pryor, just direct a question, and I'll ask, you can inquire as to whether or not she's refreshed her recollection.
Okay. Ma'am, have you read the first sentence? Don't read it out loud. But
yes, I
have. Would you turn it over for me?
Hold on.
Now, would you tell me what you wrote as the very first sentence on that document?
That I am forwarding on an email that President Dowling asked me to forward on.
So you're forwarding an email at the request of President Dowling. Is that what you wrote in the first sentence of your email?
Yes.
Okay. So again, tell me who President Dowling is.
He is the stake president of the Henry's Fork stake.
Okay. And that means he oversees the number of wards that have the 10 individual ward bishops. Is that right?
Objection as to relevance, Your Honor.
Overruled.
Yes, yes.
Okay. All right. So then you mentioned that, do you recall in your email that he asked you to do this?
He asked me to forward on the talk that's referenced in the email. So I forwarded that on, and then I added my own thoughts.
Right. And that's what I was trying to clarify. Mm-hmm. It appeared that what President Dowling was asking you to do is forward a discussion, a religious discussion that you had somehow located or found or heard.
He sent a talk to me that he asked me to forward on to the Relief Society presidents.
Okay.
And in doing that, I created my own email with my own thoughts referencing the situation that we were in and the talk that President Dowling wanted
and
to
then
post on.
As part of what you forwarded on, aside from the religious reference that the president had asked you to discuss with the people you sent it to, you took it upon yourself to put in some information that you felt you wanted to clear up before when you sent this email out. Would that be fair?
Yes.
Okay. And in the email, would you turn to page 2 of that email? And I'm going to ask you to, do you have a recollection of what you put on specifically on page 2 of the email?
It's a full page.
Okay. I'd like you to refresh your recollection with the very first sentence starting with, I have. And then when you're done, just turn it down after you're done refreshing.
Do you know which paragraph you're referring to?
The very first paragraph, ma'am. But don't read it. Just refresh your recollection. And then put it down.
Okay.
You talked about you having firsthand knowledge about the details that have been going on for a while. Is that correct?
Concerning Chad and his beliefs, yes.
Okay. Now, you previously mentioned that you have a brother-in-law that's Dave Hope. Is that right? That was done through the prosecutor's examination of you. The name Dave Hope came up, correct?
He is my daughter's father-in-law.
Okay, your daughter's father-in-law. And you're aware that he's a detective and he was involved in this case, correct?
I am aware, yes.
So I can't imagine that your firsthand knowledge came from Dave Hope, did it?
It did not.
Okay.
And that's not what I'm referencing. I'm referencing her firsthand knowledge of the beliefs that Chad had.
Okay.
Because he spoke those to me. I wasn't referencing the investigation.
And then you went on through that email to talk a little bit about what your personal opinion is about Chad Daybell. Is that, would that be fair?
That's fair.
Okay. And then from what I understand, when you sent this email out, and this was somewhere in August of 2020, correct?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know the actual date because this was sent later on. This particular person held on to it for a while.
And I don't want you to read the name, but if you could refresh your recollection of where it says from. Don't tell me the name, but if you could on the first page at the very top, it says from, and there's a name. But just if you would refresh your recollection and then put that down. You know the person, and I don't want you to name the person, but you know the person who forwarded this on to some other folks as well, right?
Yes.
And is that person one of these Relief Society ward people?
She was the Relief Society president of this ward, which is also my ward.
Okay. So the way she got this email was that as the ward Relief Society president, she got the email from you. And then it appears that she disseminated it out to the people within her ward. Would that be fair?
Yes. I sent that email to 10 women and then left it up to them if they shared that with their sisters.
Yeah. And you don't know whether all 10 of them president shared it with their sisters, but it appears in this particular case and in what would be Chad Daybell's ward that it was shared with.
Objection. Counsel's testifying, Your Honor.
Sustain.
Would it appear from the email that it was shared with all of the members of the sisters within your within Chad Daybell's ward?
Objection. Calls for speculation.
Sustain.
Okay. In any event, it was your decision to share it with the individual ward Relief Society folks, and then it would be up to them whether they decided to share it with the rest of the female members of their wards. Would that be fair?
Yes. I sent it to 10 of them and left it up to their discretion.
Okay. And in addition to the 10 society ward presidents, there's also mention of Henry's Fork Stake you're going to kill me. You can tell me what that is. Bishopric.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the executive secretaries?
So the bishopric is the bishop, his two counselors, and executive secretary, and there's other clerks and things.
And then high counselors, what is that?
There's 12 high counselors that work directly with the state presidency.
Okay, so that this was all part of this discussion with President Dowling, and this encouragement to send this email out was also along with the bishoprics, right?
So discussions. Again, the talk that President Dowling is referencing, wanting forwarded on, he asked that same talk be forwarded to all of these other organizations as well.
Okay.
So they did not receive my email. They received through their leadership to their organizations.
And then elder quorum presidencies. What's that?
Objection is to the line of questioning the relevance, Your Honor.
It's sustained.
Would it be fair to say that there were a number of organizations within the stake president that had input about what the talk was and that who you were to send it to? Would that be fair?
That's what I took that from the email from President Dowling, is he wanted that particular talk sent to, through those organizations, presidents have that talk sent out.
Okay. And you referenced young women presidencies and primary presidencies, as well as the others I mentioned as well.
Right? Yes, all of the organizations.
So they were part and parcel of that as well, correct?
Of the talk by Elder Corbridge. Right.
Mr. Pryor, you are cutting her off almost every answer. Please wait for her to finish her response before you ask another question.
Okay. Thank you, Judge. And then you did mention in that you would like to add some of your own thoughts as well, correct?
Correct.
So when you decided to send out this religious, would it be fair, a religious instruction or religious teaching? Would that be what it would be discussed in this email?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So in addition, to sending out this religious instruction to all of these folks, you decided to inject your own personal opinion about Chad Daybell, correct?
I did, because this was my community. Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Pryor, please stop cutting the witness off. You're doing it with nearly every response.
Okay. And in addition to this email that you sent out, you were never really happy about Chad and Tammy moving here, correct?
I wasn't happy with Chad moving to Rexburg.
So you wouldn't have had any trouble with Tammy here as long as she left Chad at home, right?
As I said before, had they even moved in and been somewhere further away, or if they just wanted to move to Rexburg just for a new start, no problem with that. It was because I knew what he was coming with. Because I knew what he was coming, his purpose in Rexburg was.
And that would have reflected poorly on you because of your last name, correct?
Yes, there's only two Daybell families in Rexburg.
And then in addition, the reason for complaining about Chad parking a vehicle up at the church, at the Salem Church, and using the Salem Church as his place to write and study every single day.
Objection. Counsel's testifying, Your Honor.
Sustained.
So you did also complain about Chad using the church for his personal study habits, correct?
They weren't his study habits. He was writing.
Okay.
And that's his profession. So in the church buildings are not to be used for professional purposes. So that was my issue.
Okay. And as part of your job as the stake high society president, you're supposed to enforce those rules with the church up there, right?
It's not a high society. It's a relief society.
Relief society. I'm sorry.
That was not something I was using my position for. That was my observations that he was using the building for his writing purposes.
Okay. And then lastly, you mentioned that some of the family members referred to you as a pot stirrer.
Yes, they did.
Would that be the children, the Daybell children, Chad's children?
That was not Chad's children.
It was other family members?
It was my father-in-law.
Okay. And that Chad. Chad's father?
Mm-hmm.
And he referred to you as a pot stirrer?
Yes, when Matt and I would approach him with concerns of what Chad was teaching and involved in, he'd say, leave it alone. You're being a pot stirrer.
And what do you define a pot stirrer as?
Objection, relevance, Your Honor.
Overruled.
What do you define a pot stirrer as?
It's a negative connotation to someone who's involving themselves in something that they don't need to worry about.
Okay. And would it also be someone who's sticking their nose in somebody else's business they shouldn't be? Would you agree with that?
I would say that it was my business because this is my community and my neighborhood.
Okay. But I'm talking in general, a pot stirrer is someone who likes to stick their nose in other people's business. Would you agree with that?
Sure.
Okay. Judge, I have nothing else. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Wixom, redirect.
Ma'am, you were just asked several questions about Chad's role as an executive secretary in the ward.
Yes.
And you explained that that is part of a priesthood leadership inside of a ward.
Yeah, it has to be a priesthood holder to have that calling.
Is it fair to say that someone who might be carrying on an adulterous relationship would not be... Judge, we have a stipulation.
Let me have a sidebar with counsel. All right, thanks for your patience, everyone. While we had that sidebar to discuss an evidentiary matter, Mr. Wixom, if you'd like to we stopped in the middle of a question, either re-ask the question or a new question. And if there's an objection, I'll make a ruling.
Thank you, Your Honor. Ma'am, is it consistent for an executive secretary to be engaging in an adulterous relationship?
The objection's overruled.
Having an affair is not conducive to having that calling, no.
So, in fact, would someone who, if the church became aware of that, would they normally become subject to church discipline?
Yes, correct.
And at some point, you became aware that Piley and JJ had been found on Chad's property?
Yes.
Into the microphone, please, Mr. Pryor.
Judge, this is going beyond the scope.
Overruled.
Will you please answer for that?
Yes, I was aware.
Thank you. At the time that they were discovered on his property, was Chad serving as the executive secretary?
I am not sure at that point because he had left, had gone to Hawaii. So I'm not sure. I don't recall.
Do you recall if he was serving in that capacity when he married Lori Daybell?
I believe so.
Okay. You were asked a number of questions about Julie Rowe.
Yes.
Do you happen, are you aware of whether or not Julie Rohl has been excommunicated from the church?
Judge, I'm going to object at this point. Foundation, relevance.
I'll sustain it on relevance grounds.
You were concerned about Chad's association with Julie Rohl, is that correct?
I was.
And why were you concerned about that relationship?
Again, because of what was contained in the book that he was publishing for her. And when I did observe them together, it was concerning to me, their personal relationship.
What do you mean by that?
Judge, this is going beyond the scope.
They seemed particularly close. He brought her to my home on one occasion, and it made a few of us uncomfortable, myself uncomfortable.
Speaking for yourself only, mm-hmm. What do you mean by they were particularly close? Can you explain your observations?
What I observed, he brought her to our home to show her our land, and it goes back to a river. And so they walked along this land, went back to the river. What I observed was that Chad and Julie were communicating very close to each other, and Tammy and her children were kind of following behind. It made me feel bad for Tammy that Chad appeared so close to Julie.
Was there anything else that you observed in that relationship that was making you uncomfortable?
That's the only time I saw Julie Rohl in person.
You were asked about your personal opinion of Chad as it related to that letter. Remember that question?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
As you sit there today, what is your personal opinion of Chad Daybell?
Judge, I'm going to object. Relevance.
Sustained.
What was your personal opinion of Chad Daybell at the time that you wrote the letter?
That he was a very misguided person and had gotten himself involved in relationships that were not appropriate and was affecting other people in that process.
When you say relationships with other people, do you mean anybody besides, well, who do you mean by that?
At the time, I was, like I just mentioned, his relationship with Julie Rohl, and then as I heard about Lori Vallow.
You were asked questions about your observation of Chad's use of a church building for business writing?
Yes.
You were asked a question about your role in that situation?
Yes.
As a stake leader, is it something that might be expected if you see something done that is against church policy to alert other leaders?
Yeah.
Is that part of why you had that concern?
It wasn't so much the calling I had. It was just that I knew Chad, I knew his vehicle, and I knew what he was doing in the church building.
In answering a question about being a pot stirrer, you talked about your father-in-law.
Yes.
Can you explain to the jury, at what point did you confront your father-in-law when he called you a pot stirrer?
There were several occasions that Matt and I both would let him know of our concerns about what Chad was participating in. And most of the time, the response was just, don't worry about it.
Did he ever use the word pot stirrer to you?
We were talking in a circle out in our driveway at my home, and we were talking about it, and he, don't be a pot stirrer.
Do you remember when that particular conversation occurred?
This would... That would probably be 2015, 2016, somewhere in there.
So that was before the issues with missing children and Lori came up, correct?
Correct.
So what were you specifically confronting the family about with respect to Chad at that time?
My hope was that if his father had said something to him and showed some concern that these teachings and his beliefs were getting off track from the LDS mainstream beliefs, that he would maybe listen to his dad.
Did you ever get any perspective from your personal observation that any of either his father or other family members were addressing this with Chad?
Objection, foundation.
Sustained.
Based on any personal observation that you made, anything that you saw or heard yourself without stating what you heard, did you ever get any feeling or feedback that any of the other family was addressing these things with?
Judge, again, objection sustained. It's just another way of trying to get in hearsay.
I'll agree. It's sustained.
Was that the last time that he had called you a pot stirrer?
Using those exact words, yes. He didn't use those words again.
Was there ever any other time where he was using similar words and expressing this a similar type feeling towards you?
Not directly to me, but to my husband.
Back to the letter that you sent out. There was a portion that has been referenced that you included in the letter expressing some of your own feelings about the situation with Chad.
Yes.
Would you, again, just reiterate to the jury, what were the concerns you had when you included that language?
Again, it's difficult. The original date of that email is not on there. It's been changed. So I'm assuming that this is after the children are found. I don't have the exact date.
Just answer based on your understanding, ma'am.
I'm assuming that's when I sent that out, was after the kids were found. And I think it's very obvious and apparent what my concerns would be with the tragedies that had come with who Chad was involved with.
And I don't intend to be flippant, but in case it's not quite obvious, would you just reiterate or elaborate on that?
The tragedies?
The concerns.
The concerns? Children being found in Chad's backyard was a deep, deep concern. Tammy's death was a concern, and Chad's involvement in those deaths.
Thank you, ma'am. Your Honor, I have no further questions.
All right. That'll conclude the testimony of the witness at this time then. Is the state intending to recall this witness?
The state is not, Your Honor.
Would the defense be recalling the witness at any point, Mr.
Pryor? No, Judge. And for the record, I did issue her a subpoena, and she was kind enough to notify me of how to get a hold of her. And I'm releasing her from that subpoena. I will not be calling her back.
Okay. Thank you. Well, that concludes your testimony then. Thank you for appearing. You can go ahead and step down. All right. At this point, counsel, we're going to take a mid-afternoon recess. Let's try and start back on just after 2:30. Maybe about 2:35 after the recess. The jurors will be allowed a break at this time, so I'll please rise for the jury.
All right, please.
Thank you. Please be seated. All right, let's have the jurors return to the courtroom, please. Who is the state going to be calling for the next witness, and who will be examining the witness?
I will. It will be Dave Stubbs.
Okay, thank you.
All right, please.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Please be seated. All right, Mr. Wood, you can go ahead and call your next witness.
The state calls David Stubbs.
Swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
All right. Before we get started with testimony, let me just first inquire, is your title officer or detective? Or
it was detective. I have since retired.
Okay. So I'll just refer to you as Officer Stubbs, even though retired. But Officer, this case has been live streamed as well as open to public access for the trial. And there is an exclusionary order by the court. I want to inquire, have you watched any of the trial proceedings since the case began?
I have not.
Okay. And have you discussed with anyone else their testimony in the trial that's been given?
No, I have not.
Okay. Thank you for confirming that. Mr. Wood, you can inquire.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Can you state your name and spell it for the record?
First name, David. Last name, Stubbs. Spelling of last is S-T-U-B-B-S.
Right. And I think we just heard you say you've retired from law enforcement. Is that fair to say?
That's correct. About 3 months ago.
What's your current occupation?
I am a specialty mechanic.
Before you retired, what was your occupation in law enforcement?
I was a police detective, sergeant, which I was a supervisor in the detective division.
And how long had you been a supervisor in the detective division?
Boy, several years, 6-8 years.
Do you know how long you were a detective?
Since about 2010.
So were you post-certified?
Yes, I had post-certification.
After post-certification, did you continue to receive training in law enforcement?
Yes, numerous trainings were required by post to keep our training up to date as well each year.
As the supervisor of detectives, what was your role?
So my role as being a supervisor would have been keeping track of the other detectives' caseloads, assigning cases, time management for our division. Also, when required, assist other detectives in their casework, helping them out in whatever way I could.
Have you ever worked for a law enforcement agency other than the Rexburg Police?
Yes. Did some time with Teton County Sheriff in Teton County. A small amount of time with the college police when they were a police force up there in Rexburg as well.
In total, do you know how many years you spent in law enforcement?
Total would have been in roughly 30 years.
In your training, have you been trained at all in working with cellular devices?
Yes. Customarily in our department, there each detective will have a specialty area. I did work computer cell phone forensics and got special training in those areas.
And what did that entail? What type of work would you do with cellular devices?
Well, based on the way the world is going now, a lot of things we do with our daily lives involve cell phones, computers, the scheduling of things, emails, etc.
And so were you trained on any type of software for cell phone or computer extraction?
Yeah, I was Cellebrite forensics, magnet forensics, access data forensics. Also attended multiple trainings in cellular location and things like that.
Okay. I'm sorry, did you say cellular location?
Yes.
Okay. Can you just briefly tell the jury what Cellebrite is?
So Cellebrite is a forensic software that basically can dig deeper into a computer device other than the things you could maybe commonly see just on a computer itself. If you were to take a regular computer, there's things you wouldn't be able to see. A forensic software will look in more detail and look for things that may be hidden or deleted and then process those and make understanding of those.
Mr. Wood, can we get a spelling on Cellebrite if it is there for the record?
Yes, and if I can ask the detective to spell it.
C-E-L-L-E-B-R-I-T-E.
And you mentioned using Cellebrite or Cellebrite with computers. Can you use that software with cell phones?
So Cellebrite more, it can do computers. It can do, you know, any kind of computer device, but it is more specialized in doing cellular devices and tablets, things like that.
Okay. Detective, were you involved in the investigation regarding J.J. Vallow and Tylee Ryan?
Yes, I was.
How did you come to be involved in that?
So my first involvement probably would have happened November 1st, 2019, where we were contacted by authorities in Arizona that were investigating a attempted shooting of a gentleman named Brandon Boudreau. They had requested that we, due to the information they had found, that we look for a gray Jeep with Texas license plates at 565 Pioneer Road because it was a vehicle of interest in that shooting. Therefore, we went and in that area, several officers from different agencies, Fremont, Rexburg, namely, to do surveillance and look for that Jeep for authorities in Arizona.
And did you personally take part in that surveillance?
Yes, I did.
When did you do that?
That would have been, like I said, on the 1st. And it was on and off throughout the day. We would kind of take, if you will, shifts with other officers. But throughout that entire day, we were looking for that Jeep at that location.
In doing that surveillance, did you ever have occasion to see Chad Daybell?
Yes.
What day was that?
That was on the same day, the first.
Okay. And where did you observe him?
I observed him and Lori Vallow exit the residence. They proceeded to get into a blue Subaru car with Arizona license plates. At that time, where we had not seen the Jeep yet, we decided that because they were people of interest in this investigation for the Jeep, we decided to follow that Jeep and see if they would, or sorry, that car, and see if they would lead us to where the Jeep might be located. So we followed the two of them.
Where did you follow them to?
Ultimately, we followed them to Idaho Falls, where they first made a stop at Mountain America Credit Union. They then proceeded through the parking lot, which was adjoining to Hobby Lobby, which is a more of a craft type store there, where they parked the vehicle and exited and headed toward the store.
And you say we. Do you recall who you were with?
There was two Fremont officers, Thad Gardner and Joe Powell, that were also in a different vehicle, but in the same vicinity.
All right. And Your Honor, I apologize. I should have asked for this before the witness started. May I be handed State's Exhibits 36A and B?
Yeah, we'll get those to you, Mr. Bailiff, please, and Madam Clerk. What are the two exhibits, Mr. Wood?
I thought they were listed as 36A and B, but it sounds like there's just a 36B.
We do have 36B, and we don't have a 36A at this point, I don't think, admitted.
Your Honor, 36B will suffice.
Okay.
Detective, you stated that you performed surveillance and saw the defendant with Lori Vallow at Hobby Lobby, correct?
Yes, exited the vehicle and headed toward the store, yes.
Were you able to observe their behavior together?
I was.
What was it?
So as soon as they exited the car, this would have been on the 1st of November, I witnessed them hold hands. They were smiling, laughing, joking with each other from my vantage point. And occasionally, as they approached the store, I saw Lori would place her head on Chad's shoulder, and as they walked toward the store and then entered the store.
In Your Honor, may I publish State's Exhibit 36B?
Yes.
Detective, do you recognize State's Exhibit 36B?
I do.
Do you know when that picture was taken?
Yeah, that would have been November 1st, 2019, from my vehicle.
Did you take that picture?
I did, along with several others similar to this one.
All right. Who's pictured in State's 36B?
On the left in the blue shirt would have been Chad Daybell, in what appears to be a black jacket. To his right would be Lori Vallow.
After the Hobby Lobby, did you observe them go anywhere else?
So at this point, after they entered the store, I left the area, and the other two officers stayed there to observe when they came out. So this was the last time I observed them that day.
Were you involved in any other surveillance on Lori Vallow, or was that it?
As far as surveillance goes, that was the only time I, was under surveillance with them.
And you stated, correct me if I'm wrong, the purpose for this was looking for a specific Jeep.
That is correct.
Are you aware if that Jeep was found?
So not that day, but it was discovered a few days later on the 4th of that same month, outside that same residence we were observing.
At that point, what next involvement did you have in the investigation regarding JJ Vallow and Tylee Ryan.
The next time that I would have had contact would have been that same month, but on the 26th of that month, 2019.
And that month is November, correct?
That is correct.
What happened on November 26, 2019?
So we had gotten a request to do a welfare check on one of Lori's children, JJ Vallow, at the request of his grandmother, Kay Woodcock. She had not heard from him in some time and had requested law enforcement go and check on his well-being. Therefore, on the 26th, other officers and myself went to that 565 Pioneer Road, number 175, to attempt to make contact with her.
And what was your specific involvement that day?
So my involvement, whereas I discussed before, as a supervisor helping other officers out in my division, they had requested that we come over and try and help them.
Can I interrupt you? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You say they. Who was they?
That would have been Detective Hermosillo and Detective Hope.
And then you said we. Who was we?
Myself and Detective or Lieutenant Ball proceeded over there to help them try and locate the child.
And do you recall approximately what time you went over to 525 Pioneer Drive?
It would have been, I believe, the late afternoon.
What did you do when you got there?
When we got there, myself and Lieutenant Ball approached apartment 175, where we were told Lori was living, and knocked on the door to try and make contact to see if she could tell us where her son was and his condition.
And were you able to make contact with Lori Vallow?
Yes.
How did that conversation go?
We knocked on the door. She answered. We told her that we were there inquiring about her son, JJ, and his well-being, that there was some concern that the grandmother had not heard from him in quite some time. And she invited us in to discuss the matter.
All right. Were you wearing a body cam on that day?
I was.
Did you record that conversation with her?
I did.
Your Honor, I'm going to ask that the witness be handed State's Exhibit 59, and a courtesy copy has been provided to the court and counsel.
Thank you.
Do you recognize State's Exhibit 59?
I do.
What is it?
It is a flash drive with the content on it would be my body cam from that first visit that day with Lori Vallow at her residence.
And have you reviewed that specific flash drive today?
Yes, yes, I have reviewed this flash drive.
Did you initial that flash drive?
I did.
Did you do that upon review of it?
After viewing, yes, I initialed it.
And you stated that it contains your body cam from November 26, 2019, correct?
That is correct.
And is it a true and accurate representation of the recording your body cam made?
Yes.
And is it a true and accurate representation of what you recall that day?
It is.
Your Honor, I'd ask that State's Exhibit 59 be entered into evidence.
Any objection?
There would be no objection from the defense, Judge.
All right. Exhibit 59 is admitted.
So, Detective, you stated that you went into Ms. Daybell's apartment, or Ms. Vallow, Lori Vallow's apartment.
Yes.
And what did you talk with her about?
We advised her that the reason we were there was of concern of Kay Woodcock, that she had not heard from her grandson, and that we were there just to make sure he was okay with a welfare check.
And did Lori tell you where JJ was?
She advised us at that time that JJ was not there and that she was, or he was currently in Arizona staying with her friend Melanie Gibb.
Was there anyone else in the apartment with her?
So upon entering the apartment, we asked if anybody else was in the apartment, and she advised that her brother Alex Cox was there.
Did you have occasion to speak with her at all about Chad Daybell?
Yes, we asked her if she knew Chad Daybell, to which she said Chad was her brother's friend.
Your Honor, I would ask for permission to publicize State's Exhibit 59.
You can publish 59.
Detective, do you recognize this as your body cam that you were testifying to?
Yes, this is my body cam. I had it on my left shoulder. I don't hear any volume to this.
Your Honor, we have a technical issue.
Okay.
The volume on the computer is up and on the player.
Is this at a stage where there's audio yet on the file?
Maybe continue until maybe.
Click halfway. Just see. Usually the first minute of body cams. So. Yeah, so no, it's not that. May I kind of
do whatever you want?
We're going to have to do it.
Thanks. All right. Thanks, Your Honor.
I can put the microphone up to the computer.
Go ahead.
Her car's out there, too.
What?
Think about it. It's blue. Blue Subaru.
Hi.
You all right? Lori, I'm Lieutenant Ball, Police Department. How are you? You got a minute? You alone or got help?
My brother's here.
Okay. You took these jobs.
Sweet Jim.
So, we're here.
Yeah, this is a big mess. I just talked to the guy on the phone.
And what did he ask you?
He was just saying that he wanted to do a well check on JJ.
So, JJ would be where?
He's in Arizona.
Who's he with in Arizona?
He's with one of my friends in Arizona.
Oh. Oh. Hey. You got a notepad?
No. Oh, you want?
No. Come here. Mind if he comes in?
No, come
so, who's the friend he's with?
My friend Melanie. Her son has autism. Her name's Melanie Good. I gave him all the information on the phone.
Okay, so he can call?
Yeah.
Or Discord.
Yeah. What is all this?
We're a little concerned.
Why?
Because, well, the officers who were here earlier were checky, and they got a bad vibe that, like, something was going on here because nobody knew anything about a child. They weren't talking.
It's because a lot of stuff that was going on. If you want to know, it's a lot of stuff. So,
well, that's why we're concerned, because it just was kind of weird.
It is very weird. I've had to move around a lot. One of my brothers is trying to kill me, not the brother that lives here. Obviously, he's kind of my protector. My other brother was in with my husband, who was trying to kill me for my $2 million life insurance cost.
No. No.
So a lot of stuff has gone on in this last year. It's been a horrible year for us. I've had to move around. And so I was going to move back to Arizona, put my son back in the school there, because I tried to put him in school here, public school, Kennedy.
Okay.
He went for 2 months. We tried it, but he had such a hard time. Now, the person who called is my sister-in-law. But she's his natural grandmother. He's adopted by us. Okay, so her son, who is a drug addict, had a baby with a girl who's a drug addict, and they took him from, you know, CPS took him.
Okay.
Gave him to the grandmother. She came and got him, and then she wanted us to adopt him, which we did. And we loved
why
him.
Why us?
My husband and I, who died earlier this year.
Okay.
He passed away. Since he passed away, she's been trying to fight me for him and being really horrible to me and that kind of stuff.
The
she's kind of the paternal friend.
Okay, thank
you. That makes sense.
That's what I mean. The paternal grandmother.
He has autism and ADHD. He doesn't really talk to people. Like he's very special needs. So I had him in a special needs school there. She was trying to. So what happened was my husband, who we were married for 15 years. And had raised all these 5 kids together, switched his life insurance policy to her, right?
To
his sister,
okay.
Who got $1 million when he died. And we got nothing for me to raise JJ, and all the kids got nothing, and everybody got nothing. She got $1 million. So I knew she was going to try to sue me for him or
JJ.
Yeah, because she now has this $1 million, so she can hire people to help. Him and I have nothing.
But you have nothing. Legal custody.
He's my son. I adopted him.
Right.
He was 2 years. We had him from the time he was 8 months old till 2 years old. So she does nothing and wants to cause me trouble. So I don't tell people the truth about
where we are and what we're doing because of those reasons. So I look like a suspect, but I am a good person. Raised all of my kids. I've done everything that I'm supposed to do in life. But everyone is causing me trouble right now. So
we don't want to cause a lot of trouble. How long have you been here?
We've only been here since September.
Okay.
We moved up here in September. My daughter goes to BYUI.
Daughter goes to BYUI?
Yeah.
Does she live here?
Mm-hmm. So it's been a nightmare, but I'm going to go back to Arizona so I can put him back in the special needs school. He couldn't do the school here. It was too hard for him. He would scream and cry, take him to school. The principal would have to come out, try to drag him out of the car. Like, this just was too hard. But I just don't tell people where I am. I don't tell her where I am ever. And she doesn't have any legal rights to anything. Like, she's been horrible to me since my husband died.
My understanding, she never called you to try to get the child, you know, hey, I'm interested in the child back, you know. But that.
I know, but she sends me these emails with, like, the date and like she's putting up court stuff, you know, like she's documenting. I haven't heard from him in all this time, and so I've told her that he's fine. But
see, and we hadn't heard any of that as far as
I'm just saying she's doing this as part of that. Yeah. Is my understanding.
And our only concern in this whole thing is the child.
I got it.
And so that's where we're at on that. We were just a little weirded out when, you know, and I understand now that we've heard your side of the story.
It's awful. I feel like I'm being tracked all the time. I'm like, why are police coming to my car? What did I do?
They said they were going to visit two guys, and I'm assuming one's your brother. Who was the other one? The other guy they were visiting with. There were two. Well, we had two detectives over here trying to.
Looking for you a little while ago.
Oh, because I was at the store.
And they ran into probably one of your brothers.
My brother and his friend, probably.
Oh, who's that?
They've been moving. Chad?
Chad from Rapid.
Mm-hmm.
What's his last name? Yeah, okay. All right.
So, it's just a mess. Like, just constantly causing me trouble.
Chad the D-A-Y-B-E-L-O?
He's an author.
Doesn't he live, like, out in the... He's not the Chad the Bell, but... his wife passed away recently. Is that him?
I don't know.
But it is. Check it. D-A-Y-B-E-L-L.
Yeah. But it sounds familiar as an author.
I think I know one of his. He's got a couple of daughters.
He has lots of kids.
Okay. Hoping to say. All right. Well, need anything else? Sorry to bother you.
Thank you.
We don't mean to be a problem.
I'm sorry that people are constantly knocking on me. Looking for me, and I just don't want to be found. So,
have you had problems? Because I think we only had
The reason I'm moving is because the brother that was going to kill me that we found emails and texts with my husband at the time came showing up here, so he found out where I was and he was knocking on my door.
No, this was your brother?
One of my brothers.
He showed up here and was knocking on your door.
He lives in Kansas.
And you said something about you were getting threatening emails?
Well, no. Just after my husband passed, I found emails and texts between them that they were planning all this stuff to get rid of me.
You would need to worry about him coming over.
Well, that's when I'm moving back. Moving, and I'm not going to be in a place. I'm going to live with my friend, Melanie. Don't tell anybody her name, Gib, because I don't want anything in my name. I put the apartment in my name, but I've been staying over here with my brother because he protects me.
Okay.
He's very protective of me.
If he shows back up, you know, you can call. Take care of it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's just a nightmare. I mean, I canceled the insurance policy since my husband passed, so there's no money if they kill me. And what are they going to do with JJ and Patty? Like, what do people need?
Yeah.
So,
well, if you have a problem, show back up, feel free to call us.
Okay.
We'll come in front of mom or something. Okay. All right. Okay. Get out of here. Say goodbye.
Thank you.
See ya.
Detective, upon having that conversation with Maury Ballow, did you have any concerns?
Several concerns, yes.
I want to talk to you about a couple of the statements she made to you there. She did talk about her brother trying to kill her.
Yes.
Did you ever find, and I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, she stated her brother had come and knocked on her door.
She did.
Did you ever find evidence to substantiate that?
No, we found no evidence that he had been to her apartment, nor been even in the area outside of Kansas.
She talked about, I don't believe she said the name, but Kay Woodcott trying to take custody of JJ.
Yes.
Did you, in your investigation, ever find any evidence that that was a true statement?
No.
She talked about Tylee being at BYU Idaho. Did you ever look into that?
Yes.
How did you look into that?
Went to officials at the university to see if she was enrolled. Could find no evidence of her ever being applied or enrolled at BYU Idaho.
So you found no evidence that it was true that Tylee was at BYU Idaho?
That is correct.
She mentioned JJ, that she was trying to enroll him in a special needs school in Arizona. Is that accurate?
Through our investigation, we found no evidence of him being enrolled in a special needs school there.
She mentioned her friend Melanie Gibb in Arizona. Did you investigate Melanie Gibb's location that day?
We did. She was not in Arizona. She was currently at that time in Utah.
We spoke earlier about her characterization of Chad Daybell. How did she characterize Chad Daybell?
In our chat there, she said that Chad was her brother's friend. I found this to be odd, whereas not even a month earlier, I'd seen them holding hands, walking into the store. Plus, by this time, we had discovered that they had been married, would have been November 5th in Hawaii.
Did you have any other concerns while you were there in the apartment that day?
I did. Due to our original contact with them, knowing that an occupant of the Jeep earlier that month had possibly been involved in a shooting in Arizona, we were concerned as to these people's state of mind, what they would be willing to do, or there had been someone's life tried to be taken. And then she indicated that her brother was in the residence, but I never saw him physically. This made this officer safety concern. The other thing that I noticed while we were standing there speaking, if people can recall, there was a staircase to my right that went upstairs. It goes up basically a half a flight, takes a hard left and goes up the rest of the way. While we were standing there talking to Lori, a lot of my attention was drawn for officer safety on that stairway because we had not seen Alex. But on the wall at the top of the first flight of stairs, there was a shadow that was being reflected down onto that wall, and it kept moving back and forth, which made me nervous as to the intentions of, it appeared to be a person moving back and forth at the top of the stairs. Made me nervous as to what that person's intentions might be that we could not see.
Did you go back to that apartment that day?
Yes, we went back after we still couldn't get a hold of Melanie Gibb.
All right. And is that why you couldn't, you went back because you were not able to get a hold of Melanie Gibb?
Yeah, we were trying to verify JJ's well-being and couldn't get an answer. So we went back.
And were you wearing a body cam when you went back?
I was.
Your Honor, I'd ask that the witness be handed what's been marked as State's Exhibit 60. The court and counsel have been given a courtesy copy.
All right. And what's Exhibit 60?
Pardon?
What is Exhibit 60?
Well, I was going to have the officer look at it and
okay, and I put just that on have you identified on the record, so I knew what it was.
Oh, it's a thumb drive.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Detective, do you recognize State's Exhibit 60?
I do.
What is it?
It is a copy on a flash drive of my second visit to Lori's apartment to inquire again about JJ.
And have you reviewed that thumb drive today?
I have.
Did you put your initials on it?
I did.
And is that a true and accurate copy of the body cam you recorded on your second visit to Lori Vallow?
It is.
Your Honor, I'd ask that State's Exhibit 60 be entered into the record.
Any objection?
Judge, no objection. I just need the time reference as to when he went back for the second visit, if I could.
All right, Mr. Woodwin, it's after admission. It is admitted. You can establish any additional foundation.
Approximately what time did you go back to Lori Vallow's residence?
This would have been probably 10 minutes after we had left the first time.
And may I publish?
You may.
Melanie is the friend.
Wasn't Melanie the one living up here supposed to be her daughter, Lori's daughter?
No, this was the friend that she's going back down to live with, she said.
Right. She's got a daughter named Melanie.
Let's just see if she will call and have Melanie get a hold of Hope and just do a verification. Because apparently she's not answering the phone down there.
Lori? Hi, Lori. Sorry to bother you again.
Yeah,
we're having Melanie get a hold of your friend down there.
No. Well, they were going to Frozen 2 today. So they may be after this.
Could you get a hold of her at some point and say, can you please call back the officer that's been trying to call you?
Okay, sure. Yeah, because I think they are at the movies right now.
Okay. He's been trying to call her, or other officer. She's not answering.
Okay.
But if they're at the movie, that's...
probably at Frozen 2 right now.
Yeah.
Because that's one thing he wanted to do.
I'm Frozen 2.
Yeah. So...
Here, that's probably why.
Yeah. So if she'll just return his call, that'd be great.
Okay.
Thanks. Yes, sir.
Detective, did you do anything further that day in relation to this investigation?
We tried to do verification with Melanie as to the welfare of JJ later that day.
And were you able to verify JJ's location that day?
No, we were not able to establish where he was.
From your knowledge, did Melanie Gibb have JJ with her?
No, she did not have him.
After you weren't able to find JJ, what was the next step in your investigation?
After we were able to verify that the statements we were told were untrue, a warrant was established the following morning to go back to the residence and actually search three different residents in that apartment complex to look for the child.
Do you recall which apartment you searched?
There was three, apartment 107, 174, which was the residence of Lori's niece, Melanie Boudreau at that time, and then where we had made contact with Lori, 175, which was right next door. 174 and 175 were right next door to each other, so we had warrants to go into all three.
I'm going to just briefly go back to, I believe you said November 1st when you did surveillance. Did you ever see Tylee Ryan or JJ Vallow that day?
No, in our entire stay that day, we never saw either child at that location.
And when you searched apartment 107, did you locate JJ or Tylee?
No.
And to be clear, were you looking for Tylee at that moment?
Not necessarily. We had inquired about Tylee, but she was going to BYU, and maybe she would give us some answers as how JJ was. But not necessarily that she was missing. We were focused on JJ at this time.
Did you locate JJ in apartment 174?
No.
Did you locate him in apartment 175?
No.
And did you aid in the actual searches of those apartments that day?
I did.
Right. Your Honor?
Yes.
I think this would, I realize we are 4 minutes before 3:30, but I think this would be a good stopping point.
No, I understand. I think this is fine with this witness on the stand at this point. to go ahead and conclude for today with our trial testimony. So we will go ahead and conclude for the day, beginning again tomorrow. Thank you, everyone in the attendance today, for complying with the court's conduct order. And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, before we break for the day, as I try to remind you each day, please don't discuss this case with anyone else. Don't discuss it amongst yourselves either. You can only do that during deliberations when the case is submitted for your review. Please do not look the case up in any way or investigate the case. And if you see any media coverage of the case, try to avoid that. And we will see everyone here tomorrow for additional testimony starting at 8:30 again.
All right.
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers Podcast.